experience when he saw, after he had composed the Bhagavatam, he saw. So please, this is 1, 7, text 6 and 7. I'm only going to read these very briefly, so please, you can listen, you can write something if you can. It's just, again, to give you just a taste. The material miseries of the living being, which are superfluous to him or her, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling of loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Here's another one. Now we may feel, oh, that hasn't happened for me. That's all right. That's all right. It will happen. You have to be a little patient. Krishna says, my devotee actually becomes self-realized by my unlimited causeless mercy. And thus, when he is freed from all his doubts, her or her doubts, they steadily progress towards the destined abode, which is directly under the protection of my spiritual energy or of unadulterated bliss. So everyone wants to be happy, therefore everyone builds their house so they can have some material happiness when there's no spiritual happiness, and spiritual happiness when material happiness isn't working. This is called adulterated. One side counters the other. So by his mercy, by Krishna's mercy, he's saying that you can obtain the shelter of unadulterated bliss. This is the ultimate perfectional goal of the living entity. After giving up the present material body, the mystic devotee goes to that transcendental abode and never comes back. This is what the Bhagavatam is meant to deliver, this opportunity. Here's another one where Krishna says, I am the super soul of every individual. You know what that means? That means he travels with every individual. And with every individual, he'll give you all the guidance that you need. With every individual. This is the super soul. We go even further than the super soul, because the super soul, he helps the individual living being. But we go even beyond that. We go to Krishna himself, of whom the super soul is only a part. And Krishna is beyond the super soul by a vast amount. And when we learn to follow the super soul, or Krishna's partial manifestation from within, and take his guidance, then he says, now let me take you to the spiritual world, where you'll be forever happy. So he says, I am the super soul of every individual. I am the supreme director and the dearest. Imagine if we believed that, how different our life would be. Everyone's looking for these things. Man seeks woman, woman seeks man. One of the quotes I gave you there, I think, well, I might not have given it to you yet, but one describes this. I might have give it to you later. How this is the whole principle of the material world. Man seeks woman, woman seeks man. Why? If you suddenly think, because people, Christian people, maybe moral people say, oh, this isn't the proper thing, it should be like this, it should be like that. But it's the basic principle. It's called the Adi Ras, or the original taste on which all species are resting. Male and female are seeking each other. This is because this world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And the highest rasa, the supreme rasa, is the loving relationship between Radha and Krishna, or the gopis in Vrindavan. So as we become freed by the mercy of these processes of bhakti, from a desire to taste this jara ras, mundane ras, then gradually we can enter into. And it's as Prabhupada says, it's proportional. You try and Krishna will do so much to help you. But you stop trying, then you'll just wait there for a bit. It's not like he'll turn his back on you or anything. He'll just wait with you. He'll sit down beside you. You sit down there together as long as you need. And then when you say, ah, you go, ah, now I'll tell you what to do. And eternally he does that. It never leaves your side for a moment. Imagine if we could be in touch with that. How different, how vital our life in Krishna consciousness would be. And without that, how many times we feel insecure and helpless and unsure what we should do. So the Bhagavatam gives us this. We may challenge the Bhagavatam in our ignorance and say, I don't have any experience of that. I don't know about that. That's all right. You can do that because you may not be having that strength of faith yet. But still the Bhagavatam will assure you, no, what this is being said, this is true. And 95, page 95, I found another quote and then we finish. This is a nice one. This is something I found recently that struck me. This is in the prayers of Queen Kunti. At the end, after she's offered all her prayers to Krishna, he's leaving, she says, O Lord of Madhu, Krishna, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So this is a verse that in my former days I would have felt rather nervous with, because does that mean that you can't like anyone? It sounds rather horrible. You know, you can like him and he's like some kind of a despotic person and you have to like him. And so Krishna, Prabhupada answers this in a very subtle and wonderful way, in this little paragraph. He says, the perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affection does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for somebody else. That is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. So no, it doesn't mean that you should cut off your affection for everybody, and just only for him. But, on the other side, so we have a proper understanding, he says, the symptoms of life such as desire, anger, hankering, feeling of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. You can't just cut them off. Only the objective has to be changed. It doesn't even say the object, it says the objective. Because you might think, now this is a clever way, you know, that Krishna is going to say, you can do this, but actually stomp on you. But he's not. He says only the, Prabhupada is saying the objective has to be changed. He says then, he goes on and says, desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. So it's not the affection that is cut off, but the desire to enjoy for your own personal satisfaction has to be changed. The direction has to be changed. The objective that I'm doing these things, I have affection and so forth, but this is for the pleasure, the satisfaction of the service of Krishna. This is the change of heart. The so-called affection for family, now Prabhupada is going to speak negatively about this affection that we have. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc. consists, why is he going to speak negatively, he'll say, consists of different phases of sense gratification. This is what, it's a bitter pill. But this we have to see, that so many people, I love this person, I love that person, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he's very stark and straightforward, he says that this is all just petty. He says petty feelings, petty happiness and petty distress. When someone dies, everyone cries. But their father is not crying when his son dies for his son, he's crying for himself. And he says, so that both the happiness, I will read you that quote later, both the happiness and the distress is very shallow and petty, insignificant in the material world. Why? Because it's for me. So Do we give up the affection? No. We try to convert it being for me to being for the pleasure of Krishna. Then you take care of your family, you love your family. In fact, it's not that you can take care of your family less, you love more people. Your family starts to get very big because it's Krishna's family. And the pettiness in the heart, gradually it's removed. And one can live on a different plane of understanding where affection has not been denied, but the faultiness of attachment being for my pleasure has been recognized. And Prabhupada says, to finish this, when this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, then it is called devotional service. So this is what Krishna consciousness is meant to do, to create this change of objective, not object, of objective. I want to please Krishna. I want him to be pleased by what I'm doing. So then I need to find out how to please him. And if he's not pleased, I don't know what to do. So I don't know what to do. So therefore I'll need help, won't I? And so then we start to feel like, oh, I need help, rather than thinking, I know everything already, or I don't need to know anything, or I'm not interested in knowing. You start to think, I actually need some help. And then, also in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, as soon as you feel like that, Krishna is just waiting to reciprocate with you. But he doesn't reciprocate by taking away all your miseries and relieving you of your struggle, but he makes his presence felt and gives you the required strength so that you can proceed with your particular struggle. Because as soon as you come into this world, you have to struggle. The material world is made of struggle. But he gives you the ability to struggle to go upwards. Instead of struggling, to just go round and round and round in the cycle. Birth and death. All this life, you're forming your next life. All next life, you're forming the one after. And you get a new family, and a new this, and a new that, and never meaninglessly. You think you're gaining things in your hand, at the end of life, poof! They're all gone. We don't want that kind of struggle. We want to struggle to develop our Krishna consciousness. And he's very individual, and he will help every individual who comes to him. He says that. So we want to develop our strength as devotee community, also as devotees individually, to work in that way. And then the gains will be very great. So we'll stop here, and then we'll take some prasad. And give you a little time to relax and unwind a little bit, and then we'll come back this afternoon and we'll hear something about the transcendental dharmas and why they're relevant. And again, next time I won't ask you to tell me how they're important. I'll ask you to comment on or to memorize or to ingest how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells us of the importance of the dharma.